I'll preach from there this morning. If the Lord would help me, Luke chapter 19. Praise the Lord. Well, sometimes preachers preach according to the way the crowd's, you know, working. And so I've been in a lot of Sunday morning crowds. So I may not get too rambunctious here, but if you want to see a little more acrobatics, maybe take a nap, come back tonight, and we'll get a little bit like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Luke chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature." So you see why I like this story already here. And the Bible says, "And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Heavenly Father, we do praise you today. We thank you for your people and for your presence and for your word. God, I pray that you would help me and anoint me for a little while to preach what you've laid on my heart for this service. And God, I pray that you would touch us in the altars and help us to draw closer to you. And we give you the glory for it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful story here. I don't know about you, but it amazes me to read through the New Testament and to see how some seemingly casual meeting that Jesus had with different people turns into a time when he reveals some of the greatest truths in all of the Bible. I mean, such as when he met Nicodemus by night and told him that universal truth, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I mean, this truth not only applied to Nicodemus, but it had universal application. And it's just recorded once in all of Scripture with here with Nicodemus there by night. On another occasion, he was talking to his disciples, and he said, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many." I mean, just in these few words, he gave a revelation of the underlying principle and purpose of his entire life and work. And so we see here in this story the same thing when we see that Jesus' driving passion was to come and to seek and to save that which is lost. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. The story of Zacchaeus here is all the more interesting because it's an account of one of the last men that Jesus saved from sin on his way to the cross. I mean, you could say that Jesus on his way to the cross, he picked up blind Bartimaeus by the wayside and the dying thief on his way back to the Father's house. But I just want to notice a few things about the life of Zacchaeus here that we can apply to our lives and maybe learn from. I mean, Zacchaeus was a Hebrew name meaning pure, and he probably did not have a pure reputation, probably had a bad reputation. These Jewish tax collectors were not looked upon favorably by the populace, and his name and his character probably was different. You can have a good name and a bad character, if you're not careful, but I don't know about you. But I tend to think that maybe when he was born, it was kind of like here this morning. got high hopes for little Easton and Weston, and I've had high hopes for all of my children when they were born, and maybe Zacchaeus' parents named him that because they had high hopes that he would live up to that. We can learn some things from this verse about Zacchaeus' social standing. I mean, it says that he was chief among the publicans. Some men are exposed to special temptations from the positions they hold. And from my study, I read that, Rome required so much of each person that lived in their district. But if they could get more, then they could keep it. They only required so much. And that, a man could do all right just gathering what was necessary, but he really couldn't become rich like Zacchaeus was unless he was taking a little more. I mean, that restoring somebody fourfold just didn't pop into his head by accident. I mean, he already knew. It's kind of like, the sister that was telling her pastor about, how that some people had treated her wrong. And he said, well, now, sister, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And she looked at him and she said, yeah, but they knew what they was doing to me.
Amen.
Well, Zacchaeus knew. He knew what he was doing, and we usually do. He was gathering a little more that was due. We can learn something from this verse of Zacchaeus's secular position. The Bible says that he was rich. I mean, notice in verse 3, it said he was chief, he was rich, but he could not. Oh, man. I mean, being chief and rich cannot do everything. I mean, I saw a sign that I liked the other day on a church said Google can't answer every search. Amen. There's some searches that only Jesus can answer. Here he was. He was rich. He was chief, but he could not. Amen. I mean, that's how it is in life. Human power, however commanding and extensive it might be, it soon reaches the solid rock of the impossible, upon which only one thing can be scribbled in the little words, he could not. There was a longing. I mean, he was chief. He was rich, but he could not. There was a longing in his heart for something more than he had. There was a vacancy there that can never be filled by gold. It can only be filled by God. There was an emptiness there, and a yearning, amen, for that perfect peace and that unspeakable joy that he did not have. Now, he was rich. He was chief. There's another thing that verse 10 says about him. It says that Jesus comes to seek and to save that which was lost. And so by Jesus' own account, Zacchaeus was lost. He did not have a vital interest in righteousness. He had a great interest in revenue. And so by the calculations of the eternal Son of God, he was spiritually and morally lost. Amen. But he was determined. He was determined that nothing was going to stop him from seeing Jesus. I mean, many times the reason people are wealthy is because they are determined. They are, many of them do work hard and they work at it. But Zacchaeus, he was going after different treasure this day. He was determined that he was going to see Jesus no matter what the cost. And I'm telling you, he didn't know it, but he was about to get more than he was bargaining for. There was going to be a payoff that day was larger than anything that he had ever experienced in his life. And so we see here the character of Zacchaeus and the curiosity of Zacchaeus. In this case, the curiosity that would awaken an earnest desire in his heart to see Jesus. Verse 3 says he sought to see Jesus, who he was. I want to tell you something, little Easton, if you're ever listening to this in the years to come, there is no better pursuit that a man can undertake
faith and to want to see who Jesus is. Amen. Zacchaeus had no doubt heard about him from others, but now he was seeking Jesus for himself. I appreciate what others told me about Jesus. I appreciate others in the church that what they told me about Jesus, but I'm glad that I seen him for myself. Amen. In this case, his curiosities overcame the difficulties that are in the way of seeing Jesus. And could I say, there's always going to be things in the way. The crowd was in his way. He was short of stature, you know. And if we could apply that to our lives many times, and young people, don't blame other folks for everything. Our decisions, our desires, the things that we want to do in life, many times they're just a result of what we want to do and our decisions. You can overcome anything. Some of you say, well, I wasn't born into a good family. Neither was I. But, you know, there come a time in life when I had to quit blaming my circumstances and I had to start taking responsibility for myself. And Zacchaeus was here. I mean, he had all kinds of barriers in his way to the blessing, but he overcame them. He overcame his environment, those that were around him that were trying to keep him from seeing Jesus. He didn't allow, I'd like for you to listen to this now, he didn't allow the things that he could not control to keep him from doing what he knew he had to do in his heart. There are things that you can't control. Amen. But there are a great amount of things that we can control with our decisions and with our desire to overcome. And so Zacchaeus, he overcame a lot of natural barriers. The calling of Zacchaeus, it was a personal call. I mean, Christ not only knew his name, but he knew his nature. He knew the place that he occupied. He knew the thoughts that he cherished. Verse 5 says he came to the place. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that the Lord always knows where we're at. He always comes to the place, don't he? I tell you what, we lived way back. My dad worked in the oil field and we lived way back off the road. I mean, you had to go at least 7 or 8 miles blacktop roads. Nobody lived back there but us. You either come to see us or you were lost. Amen. And I'll tell you what, the Lord knew right where I was at. He knew how to wind down those roads. He knew how to come into that room. He knew exactly where I was at. The Bible says he came to the place. Amen. Oh, he always does. No man ever started out with a full purpose to see Jesus and failed. I mean, Zacchaeus, he started out to see Jesus, and Jesus was going to make sure that it was a successful mission. Amen. I'm glad he knows our name. He knew Mary's name at the garden tomb. He knew Cornelius' name when he was seeking a deeper walk with God. Amen. When Jesus came to the place, the Bible says he looked, he saw, and he said. He looked with those eyes that were going to and fro over the earth to find someone to show himself strong in. Amen. The eyes that saw the multitude and had compassion upon them. He said with the voice, amen, of Jesus, that voice that never a man spake like this, the voice that called Lazarus out of the tomb, the voice that calmed the storm when it was raging out of control, the voice that said to the legions of demons, go, and they had to leave. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you something. This was the voice that spoke to Mary's troubled life at the tomb. All he did was call her name, and all of her problems were solved. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad when the Lord looks. I'm glad when he sees. And I'm glad when he speaks. It was an urgent call to Zacchaeus. He says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Amen. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives to convict us of sin, to speak to our hearts, to lead us and guide us, brother, is always a great opportunity that demands haste. It demands immediate decisions. He said, make haste. Why? Because you can wait 10,000 years and your sins will never be less but more. And God's mercy will never be greater than it is right now at this moment. I mean, we talked about his character, talked about his curiosity and his calling, and I'm glad for the conversion of Zacchaeus. Amen. Jesus said, this day is salvation come to thy house. Amen. I'm glad that on September the 1st, 1982, salvation came to my house. Amen. Little Easton now, he's in trouble, and little Weston too. I mean, he's got two grandpas that's preachers and a dad that's a preacher. Amen. There's no telling what the Lord. And, you know, got an uncle here that's preaching. Amen. I want to tell you, but it all started for me on September the 1st, 1982, when the Lord came to my house. Amen. Something had taken place in that period of personal dealing between Zacchaeus and Jesus. A radical change had taken place in the man. Amen. The habit of his life might have been expressed in these words: I get, but now he's saying I give. I mean, he had entered mastered by greed. He came out mastered by grace. Had he been honest, he would have spoken of the past and said, I rob, but now he said, I restore. There was a change. What a glorious change that came in his heart. One man said, between the limb and the ground, he found something real. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I found something real, friend. Amen. I tell you, if people want to add Jesus on to the rest of their sins, let them do it. We're going to all get to try out after a while, but friends, for me and my house, I'm glad when I found the Lord. Amen. There's a change in my life. There's something that come into my soul. Amen. It rearranged everything. Zacchaeus had a change in his heart. Instead of living for self, he began to live for the Savior. Instead of seeking things of time, he began to seek the things of eternity. Amen. He realized that this was his opportunity. This was his day. It could be your day today. It could be your opportunity today. Amen. He seized that opportunity and walked out of sin into the arms of the Savior. He got off the highway to hell and got on the highway to heaven. He moved his name from the lost column to the profit margin. Amen. I mean, he understood that. Jesus put a song in his heart, a sparkle in his eye, joy in his soul. Amen. He broke the chains of sin and set him free. Amen. Then while the joy bells of heaven were ringing and the angels were rejoicing, his name was inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, today is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I noticed something about Zacchaeus. I give. Amen. The half of my goods I give to the poor. He didn't say, Lord, when I die, I'll go ahead and give it. Don't wait till you get ready to die before you do your giving. Go ahead and do it now and let the Lord bless you. Amen. I mean, I like people that are giving people. Amen. And Zacchaeus, he turned into a giving man. What we intend to do for the Lord, we need to do now. We can't wait till some other time. Zacchaeus, he couldn't wait till he was on his deathbed to do what he needed to do. He needed to do it now. True surrender requires that we're ready to part with any possession, any position, any popularity, any preferences, and any people that prevent our lives from being dedicated to God and His purpose for our life. We have to be ready to part with any of those things. You know, Zacchaeus, he was a publican. And I think about Matthew. He was at the receipt of customs. He was a publican too. And when Matthew got saved, he called all of his friends together and he wanted them all to meet Jesus. I don't know if Zacchaeus was Matthew's friend or not. I don't know if he was there at that time. Possibly not. But whether he was or no, I don't know that. But I thought about maybe Matthew. He was always concerned about his friends. Maybe he might have said, Jesus, if you're ever passing through Jericho, if you ever get over there, there's a man named Zacchaeus. I believe he's a good man. But he's living a life now. And he's a better man than the life he's living. You ever knew people like that? They were better than what they were living. I know a lot of people. Perhaps maybe there's some here today. You're just a better person than the life you're living. That's where Zacchaeus was. I mean, he really had a good heart in a lot of ways, but he just needed to see Jesus. Amen. And, Zacchaeus was going up in that tree for the purpose of seeing the Lord. And when a man looks for God, and God knows that he's looking for him, he that seeks is sought. Let me tell you something. You know, for the Son of Man come to seek and to save that which was lost. See, Zacchaeus thought that he was seeking Jesus, but Jesus was seeking him. And if you're looking for him this morning, I've just come here to tell you that he's looking for you. You can guarantee one thing. Amen. Today's the day of salvation. And if you're looking for him, he's looking for you. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The cock says now. The pulse says now. The heart says now. Amen. Everything says make haste. Amen. Make haste for your own salvation. If we're not careful, through the passage of time, may become more difficult. What if Zacchaeus would have just got down out of the tree and not met Jesus and not followed through with anything? Nobody would have ever heard of him again. Amen. But he seized the opportunity. If we're not careful, the sin in our life is like a fire. If we go ahead and put it out right now, amen, it can be manageable. But you let a few hours go by and you let the wind blow, it'll get to such a degree that where it's hard to put out. It's like a river. The further from the fountain head that it gets, the greater volume and more irresistible the current is. Amen. Sin is like a tree. You can see a sapling. I mean, a little child can grab it and bend it. But you let a few winters go by and some summers go by, and you let some, the weather get on it and that tree, and it'll be impossible to bend. So today is the day of salvation. Amen. One may ask, how long can a person live in sin and still be saved? That's one of the most dangerous experiments that a lost soul could undertake. Amen. Amos 4:12 is a powerful verse of scripture. It says, prepare to meet thy God. Amen. Sister, if you come help me, I'm getting ready to close. You know, people prepare for everything. If you ask people, they'll say, well, I'm going to go to this school, I'm going to go to college, I'm going to do, they have a lot of things mapped out. There are billion-dollar industries on preparation for retirement, multi-billion-dollar. It's not wrong to plan, but we don't need to just plan for natural things. The Bible says to prepare to meet thy God. How's that preparation going this morning? I mean, how are we coming along there? Well, I'll wait till tomorrow, brother. Tomorrow's a lamp without oil. It was for those five foolish virgins. It'll leave you in the darkness. Tomorrow's a ship that will be destroyed on the rocks of eternity and leave men to drown in perdition. Amen. Tomorrow. Maybe that mother named him Zacchaeus that had high hopes for him, maybe she was calling his name somewhere in prayer. I don't know. I was studying and thinking about Zacchaeus, and there's a legend about Zacchaeus that a man came through Jericho and he saw an old man, and he was watering a tree. And he was taking that water and he was rubbing it into the roots of that tree and getting it, trying to help it live. And the story went that was Zacchaeus, and the man asked him, said, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to keep the first experience alive in my life. This is where I met Jesus. Maybe you've been in church for many years. How is it coming with keeping that experience alive? Is it as vibrant as it was through the years? Amen. Zacchaeus was a better man than the life he was living, and perhaps that could be the case with us. Zacchaeus was glad he met Jesus that day. I mean, God met Moses at the burning bush while Moses was on the job. God met Elijah while Elijah was depressed and hiding in a cave. He met Jonah while Jonah was running from him. He met the Gadarene demoniac in the middle of all the problems that possessed him. He met the centurion in the middle of his doubts. And he said, Lord, help my unbelief. Jesus met the thief on the cross while he was dying. He met Saul of Tarsus in the middle of Saul's dead religion. What are you trying to say, brother? That wherever you're at here today, the Lord wants to meet with you. Zacchaeus did one thing that was very important. He knew where Jesus was going to pass by, so he picked him out a point to where he knew that the Savior passing by was going to intersect where he was at. And I'd like to say to you here this morning, the Savior is passing by the altar, and you can put yourself in a position this morning to meet him as he passes by. I can tell you, this meeting wasn't by accident. Jesus said, I must abide in your house today. He said it was a necessity. And I can tell you, friend, that it is a necessity that our paths cross with the Savior if all's going to be well with us in eternity. Would you stand with me here this morning? You're here. And you'd say, I know Jesus is passing by, and I want to put myself in a position, amen, that our paths could intersect this morning. I need the Lord's influence in my life. I need his help. I need his strength. Is there somebody here you'd step out from where you're standing here this morning and say, I need to meet Jesus here this morning. I don't want to wait till tomorrow. I don't want to wait till tonight. Right now, I want to seize the opportunity as Jesus passes by. Friend, when he's passing by, anything's possible. Is there somebody you'd say, I need my life to intersect with the Lord here this morning? I need the Lord to help me. Is there somebody here you'd say, I need right now to come to these altars and ask the Lord to save my soul and help me today? Friend, I'm telling you, it's imperative that your path cross with the Savior. If our paths never cross again, you haven't lost much. But if your path does not intersect with the path of the Savior, you may be lost for all eternity. Amen. Would you come? What about you that are there? You've been in church for a while and you want to keep that first experience alive. Amen. You know that you need the Lord to touch you and help you this morning. I'd like everybody that would, let's come, let's find us a place to pray. And friend, if you're here and you know that you need your path to cross with the Savior, don't leave here without praying. Let him help you here this morning. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Touch your people today, Lord. Help us today in the altar, Lord. Oh, God. Friends, let him help you today. He's here. If you're seeking him, he's seeking you. Hallelujah.